goes like that.
Oh, nice. Hey, everybody. Tom's showing off some of his, the presents he brought back.
My crack utensils.
from New York. He just walked through the door, so he's not going to do it.
Oh, I was on the radio.
Yes. So, so he's, Cheryl says, hi, Tom.
Hi.
He's not going to join us this week, but we'll see if we can't talk him into, rejoining us next week. So let's see, but Connie's here.
Hello, everybody. Hello, my family and Cheryl.
And Stephanie.
And Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie. Welcome, Stephanie.
Marge and Debbie say, welcome home, Tom.
Thanks.
He says, thanks.
Good to be home.
Good to be home. Okay, so we are here for Growing with NTI. We are in the middle of the book of John, which is a fabulous book. And it's interesting, of course, that we are going through the book of John at the same time that the Gentle Healing Group is going through the book of John. Just, you know, synchronicity is just very interesting. Stephanie says hi with a heart to you. And so we're just going to start with a prayer. And just use this as an opportunity to kind of sink in and let go of some of the really crazy energy that seems to be going on inside of me. And yeah, just express, I'd like to just express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn and to request Inner Wisdom's assistance in getting out of the way so that Inner Wisdom can be heard. And say thank you to all of you, and that I love you. Amen. You knew that was a prayer, right?
I knew it was a prayer. You were pleading with your heart wholeheartedly. No, but I mean, when I was thinking when you were saying that, I mean, that's really all of our prayer. Because, and talk about the crazy energy, you know, it is crazy energy out here. It's just crazy. I mean, you know, people aren't saying what they mean, and they're making assumptions. In fact, I was reading the first paragraph of tonight's lesson. I thought, oh my God, we're all out here making assumptions, and they're just not true. And I guess that it's inspired a little by watching that Byron Katie for the next class. How we do make these assumptions. It's not really what we want, not really what we feel.
Yeah, in fact, you had a great example earlier. You wondered why somebody didn't say something about a present that you got them, and we figured out later they were probably wondering why you didn't say good luck in your surgery.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's having surgery today, and I saw him this morning. I sent a birthday gift to him last night, and so he was there at work when I got there this morning, and he said hello, I said, I didn't have much to say to him. He didn't have much to say to me. Well, he was, he was caught up in his world, and I was caught up in mine. Well, why aren't you saying anything about it? Did you get that shirt and those shorts and that $25 pack of golf balls that I sent you? And he didn't say anything about that, and I didn't say anything about his surgery. Well, I forgot the day was his surgery. So, I mean, you know, it's just out of tune and out of touch. So.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't even started the book yet, but but that's, you know, and that's how we go about it. I mean, everybody's in their own, you know, they're filtering the world through their own filter. And, you know, and I had similar experiences with Tom coming home tonight. I mean, it's good to see him, but it's weird that he's here. And, like, you know, this was my house, you know, for 4 months up till 2 hours ago. And, you know, and it's just like, so I'm not saying what I mean. I'm really glad to see him, but I'm not, you know, it's just that hasn't come across at all. And it's just, you know, everybody's just doing their own thing. So when A Course in Miracles talks about, you know, there's no communication going on here, you know, if you pay attention, you see how true that is.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, because we're not communicating. I mean, we're not communicating from the heart, and I think that's appropriate place for us to get started in our reading.
All right, so let's... Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Okay, so here we go. We're at NTI, John, chapter 9. It's page 198 of the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. Open to your heart. Let the voice within the heart lead ahead of the mind. When the mind disputes the heart, let the mind rest.
Wow, let's all write. Let's read that sentence again.
Okay, we're going to read it again. We're going to write.
I'm going to underline it and start two or three times.
I'm going to read it again. Open to your heart. Let the voice within the heart lead ahead of the mind. When the mind disputes the heart, let the mind rest.
Let the mind rest. So, yeah, so if I'm in my head going, you know, why isn't he thanking me for my present, you know? Instead of just being in the spirit of, hey, Joe, how are you? You know, what's going on? You know, and being present with the situation. You know, what the hell? Why didn't you say anything about my birthday?
Right, and
it's a little screwed up.
Well, it is. And, you know, the Course talks about that. I did a talk about that a million years ago, seeing through the eyes of wholeness. but where, you know, and I can't remember what section of the Course it was in, but it talks about the difference between going into a situation and going, okay, what's missing here? What am I not getting?
Yeah, I'm not getting my accolades.
Yeah,
for all that money I spent yesterday.
Yeah, but we go into all situations going like that. What is, you know, what do I need to be different in this situation in order to be happy? And so we look for the problems. We look for what do I need to be different in order
instead
for me to be
looking,
happy.
Instead of looking where I can join and have a
That's
real
right.
connection with this person in this moment. And, you know, oh my God, he was getting ready to go into surgery. I could have been there for him, told him I loved him, told him how much I cared about him. And so they're being in my head going, did you get my present or not? You're not going to say anything about it? Okay, I guess I'm going to go upstairs now.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the difference. And there's the two camps that we always talk about.
Right, right. Instead of making real connections with people.
You're looking for how somebody done me wrong. Yeah,
so.
Not you, but I mean, we all are, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So let's read more than the first two sentences. But I am going to read them again. Maybe we'll think of something else
we
to
could
say.
Be all night on this paragraph, folks. I'm sorry. It's a lesson. We're teaching ourselves. What can I say?
Yeah, apparently we really need to learn it.
Apparently.
All right, here it is. Open to your heart. Let the voice within the heart lead ahead of the mind. When the mind disputes the heart... Let the mind rest.
Let the mind rest, dummy.
Answer the mind thusly. I do not know what I do not know, and so I cannot answer your questions. I only know what I have been led to know, and because I choose to know it, I can see. And, of course, you know, this is where we're talking about right reason and wrong reason. Well, we're talking about wrong reason, you know. It's about following your guidance as opposed to doing what reason would tell you to do, you know. Well, I've done that. I had a spat with my dear sister Connie here. I say that all too often on this program, seems like. on her birthday, on Friday, nothing major, just, you know, snippy. And then I had a little snippy period with my other sister playing golf yesterday.
Must have been you.
Shut up, Connie. Let me tell my story. Yeah, must have been me. That's funny. But, you know, and so ego keeps coming back and going, well, you know, though, that you know, they were wrong, that, you know, they should have taken this into consideration, and this reminds me of the Byron Katie thing, too, you know. They should have done this, or they should have done that, or they were out of line, and, you know, and anybody would do this or that, you know, follow this rule or whatever, this rule of social etiquette or that rule of social etiquette. And so I'm like, look, So I'm telling my mind, shut up. I want to heal, and I cannot heal if all I can hear is you telling me over and over again, yeah, but they were wrong. And I'm telling you, and it kept coming back and back and back and back again. So it's like, I mean, it was like, you know, having a dog nip it at your heels or something. It was really like, please, can I have some rest?
And what you really find out when those things keep coming back like that is there's an acquire that needs to be done.
Yeah.
My family doesn't follow the social etiquettes that most reasonable people would. And you know, and in that conclusion,
and it is a conclusion. You start with a conclusion, and then you're damned from there, right?
Yes. And in that conclusion, what we've done is we've made a million assumptions.
Right.
Just a million of them.
Yeah.
She should know that this is happening in my life. We're here, and why wouldn't they know this? We're getting ready to play golf. This is a logical conclusion of that. So there's a million assumptions going on that, if you know, just like Joe this morning, I'm sure he's going, why isn't she saying something about my surgery? I'm getting ready to go into surgery. Anytime you go under a knife, you're potentially looking at death, you know, of the body. Why wouldn't she say something to me? I mean, there's a probably, you know, and
there are a bunch
going,
of assumptions in his mind. There's a bunch of assumptions. She's got to know I'm having surgery today. That's why I'm here so early. Blah, 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 blah.
That's
all
right.
That.
I'm here at real early. Yeah, there's...
Yeah. And we do this with each other. And it goes back to the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. So we stay in this loop, and I know you and Regina have a good thing for that. We stay in this loop with assumptions going on and on and on and on and get caught up in that and never get out of it. And that is leading with the mind as opposed to leading with the heart. Instead of having a true connection and
which is a real viable alternative. Just skip all that crap and go right to just having the connection.
Yeah, go right to having the connections. Just drop the assumption. Go, there's a million assumptions going on here, and I know in my heart that I love my sister.
Yeah.
No matter whether she seems to be a dick right now or not.
Right.
Right? I love my sister. I know she loves me. She must have stuff going on in her mind or whatever, right? And having the connection instead of making the assumptions.
Well, in fact, we did that on Sunday. We argued from Connie's to her neighbor's, which is like a block, two blocks maybe. And then we said, well, let's just let this go and talk about it later if it needs to be talked about. Well, of course it doesn't need to be talked about later. And then it was great, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure? But no, it was. I mean, it's just a different way of being. And that was the willingness to just like overlook it, to forgive it, to allow... To quit looking for what's wrong in the situation, what's wrong with the other person.
Yeah, to come from the premise of what the heart is, instead of the assumptions are made about what's going on in the world and about what somebody should know in their mind and shouldn't know in their mind and what should, you know, because this is important to me, they should know it too. Instead of dropping into the heart
and just going, hey, I love you, let's go have fun,
and going, I'm not sure what's going on here. I don't care. I know she loves me, and I know I love her. And trying to make a connection henceforth.
Right. So, obviously, this lesson is right on point. We've spent 16 minutes talking about the first paragraph.
I know y'all wanted to move on, but it's too bad.
So, let's look at the second paragraph.
All right.
When one's eyes are opened by the guidance of his heart, he becomes witness to that which he has welcomed. all right, I'm going to stop right there because this is it exactly. It's like, what are you going to search for evidence of? Are you going to search for, it is the perceptual loop. Are you going to search for evidence that there's love and joy and expansion in my heart and in the world, or am I going to search for proof of how everybody's done me wrong? of how nobody gives a crap about anybody else and how all this is just horrible. I mean, you get what you get what you go in search of. And that's what it's saying here about, you know, operating from guidance as opposed to the rules of the world or what reason would tell you.
Or what your mind's telling you is, everybody should know this about me right now. Why are they talking about other stuff and being in their own mind?
Right. Right. Okay, so when one's eyes are opened by the guidance of his heart, he becomes witness to that which he has welcomed. Through him, others shall see what he has seen. Whether they accept or not accept it into the filter of their mind is their choice based on their willingness. But they shall see what is witnessed to them, and what they see shall be saved in their heart until they are ready to acknowledge it. And this is just really cool. This is, you know, that whole idea about the spreading of light in the one mind. And to go out and spread that, the light, according to guidance dictates, according to the dictates of the heart, right? And how does Course in Miracles put it? No miracle is ever wasted or something like that? Because even if the person that you seem to have wasted your compassion on, you know, if it's rejected or something like, it's never wasted. Even if the person is not vibrating at the same level that you seem to be vibrating at, it's never lost. It says it's stored in their heart until they begin to vibrate at that level, until they also open their hearts in order to appreciate the love.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So it's, once again, it's just really calling to us to be in our heart, come from our heart in every moment and every experience.
It says, yes, in this way all men welcome the light together. Whenever one gives welcome and accepts its message, all give welcome with him. But if some are not willing to see what they have welcomed beyond the trap of their mind, their heart welcomes it for them and saves it there. So that which is welcome is not lost. Pass no judgment on what you see, for when you pass judgment, you pass what you see through the filter you have made within the mind. Viewed through this filter, the thing you see will be distorted. It will not be the thing that it is. It will be that which you have asked to see and which you have designed to see through the web of filters you have made.
That's just what we've been talking about. Why isn't she cognitive of what's going on in my mind right now and how I'm hurting or why aren't you seeing this from my perspective, right?
Right. Right, right.
Any reasonable person would see this from my perspective. it's just so egotistical to start with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if you leave any of the metaphysics, all of the metaphysics out of it.
It's pretty egotistical.
It's egotistical to start. Yeah, that's what we do. It says to see clearly. And this is the thing. well, let me read the sentence. To see clearly and to see all things as they truly are, bypass the mind. And that's the thing. I mean, that's what it just said. The mind is this filter. So the mind is going to bring all these rules, that's one. All these assumptions, that's two. I mean, we just
all the roles,
all of it into it. And that's how you're going to try and see through that thick web of crap.
and expect the two people to be able to really join and communicate.
And be self-righteous when they don't, right? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. To see clearly and to see all things as they truly are, bypass the mind. Look with the heart. The light that shines from the heart seeks not for explanation or proof or sense or control. It says only this, show me that I may believe. You see, that's looking for the wholeness as opposed to looking for what's missing. Show me that I may believe. And it accepts what is shown without questioning it, because it is its will to welcome the light. It is its will that the light be welcomed fully.
Yeah, so just being fully present, fully authentic in any situation, and you know, not this selfish, well, why aren't they being considerate of me?
NTI John chapter 10, page 199. I am the way, and the thoughts that came before were not.
Were not what?
The way.
The way.
I am the way. And I noticed that the A in M is capitalized. I am the way, and the thoughts that came before were not. You spent many years listening to the thoughts that came before me, and they have given you nothing. I am the way, because I am the light, and the light is the way to life. Open to me. Listen to me. Tune out all other voices by letting go of all other thoughts. The time has come to listen only unto the light. Connie, talk about that paragraph. I gotta get this other reading that I wanted.
I'm leaving.
Open to me, listen to me, tune out all other voices by letting go of all other thoughts. The time has come to listen only to the light. How is it that I am known? I am the light, and so I carry with me the characteristics of the light, and only the characteristics of the light. You will not find fear in me. You will find only love. You will not find attack and war. You will find only peace. You will not find guilt or accusation. You will find only sweet forgiveness. I love that. That sees that which is meaningless and meaningless, or as meaningless, and asks it to take on no meaning. You can trust my voice because you recognize it as yours, and you know it is yours. Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're doing all the time. And that's Regina read something the other night about, and maybe that's what you're getting ready to read, about meaningless thoughts. To recognize thoughts as being meaningless is forgiveness. And that's what this saying is so sweetly here is, you know, what we were just saying, that we're trying to give meaning to a situation by assigning, by the thoughts that we have, and thinking that means this, and that means that, and that means they don't care about me, and that means that they're not typical human beings even, and we make all these assumptions based on,
yes,
the meaning that we're assigning to it, instead of letting the characteristics of love be our guide.
Kathy says trying to give meaning to the meaningless.
Yes. Yeah. And trying to hold everybody else accountable for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And when I read this up here, open to me, listen to me, tune out all other voices by letting go of all other thoughts. The time has come to listen only unto the light. It reminded me of this that I read in Nisargadatta Maharaj, I Am That, today. I don't know if there's really a connection, but the one was made.
It's a connection on the heart, and that's where we're at.
That's a good point. Thank you. It says, questioner says, we are told that all forms of spiritual practices, the practice of the attitude of a mere witness, is the most efficacious. How does it compare with faith? Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the witness attitude is also faith. It is faith in oneself. You believe that you are not what you experience, and you look at everything as from a distance. There is no effort in witnessing. You understand that you are the witness only, and the understanding acts. You need nothing more. Just remember that you are the witness only. If in the state of witnessing you ask yourself, who am I? The answer comes at once, though it is wordless and silent. Cease to be the object and become the subject of all that happens. Once having turned within, you will find yourself beyond the subject. When you have found yourself, you will find that you are also beyond the object, that both the subject and the object exist in you, that you are neither. And then let me read you. I'm going to read you one more from Nisargadatta Maharaj, if you'll allow me. He says, we believe in so many things on hearsay. We believe in distant lands and people, in heavens and hells, and gods and goddesses, because we are told. Similarly, we are told about ourselves, our parents, name, position, duties, and so on. We never cared to verify. The way to truth lies through the destruction of the false. To destroy the false, you must question your most inveterate beliefs. Of these, the idea that you are the body is the worst. With the body comes the world, and with the world, God, who is supposed to have created the world, and thus it starts, fears, religions, prayers, sacrifices, all sorts of systems. All to protect and support the child man, frightened out of his wits by monsters of his own making. Realize that what you are cannot be born nor die, and with the fear gone, all suffering ends. What the mind invents, the mind destroys, but the real is not invented and cannot be destroyed. Hold on to that over which the mind has no power.
So
what we're used
it's what we're making up in the mind all the time.
Yeah, and we're used to doing taking that as what's real, as what has meaning.
Yeah.
And the idea is that what we are is way, way beyond that. It's the source of that, actually, of everything. But it's but it's beyond that.
Yeah. The closest we're going to get to that is not through these assumptions. It's going to be dropping into the heart, right?
And letting go of all that you have formerly believed was real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In that, even in that given scenario, the truth is right there. The light's right there. The love and joy is right there. If you will walk into every situation looking to find that, as opposed to what's ever on your agenda.
Right.
But we don't. We go into every situation
with an agenda.
With an agenda, mm-hmm. of, you know, did you get my present or not, mofo?
Doesn't that prove how great I am?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always about identity. I mean, we read the Course of Miracles says everything you think, do, and say, everything that comes out of your mouth is for the purpose of verifying your identity.
Yeah. No question about it. Yeah. All right, let's finish up John chapter 10. I am the light of which you are. We are one and the same, and you are me. And so you know me, and you recognize your desire to remember me as all that you are. As all that you are. Yeah, that reminds you of where, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus says, you and I are the same. The only difference is that, how's he say it? Because now it just went out of my head. You remember it? Anybody out there remember it? Out in radio land? That basically you're holding on to stuff that I'm not holding on to. But
yeah, this is
quite
this is all I have, and you have everything. You have
all that other
else.
Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. NTI John chapter 11. That's where we are. Hey, Sharon, welcome. I didn't see you come in the room. Sharon Slider.
Hey, Sharon.
Tony says hey. All right, so let's do NTI John chapter 11. I have nothing else. That's right. Very good, Marge and Debbie, or Marge. The difference between us is I have nothing else. Yes. Oh, I didn't know Sharon and Art Lady were the same person. That's really funny. Okay. Welcome again, Sharon. We said hey a while ago.
Hey, Sharon.
Now we've said it. All right. NTI, John chapter 11, bottom of page 199. Trust in this voice that you know is you and that you recognize as the light, as your light. There's no reason not to trust the light. For in the light you can see and you will know freedom. Step into the light fully, without fear of death, and see how clearly your path is lit. See how well you know your way. See how happy you are to know that which the light has shown you. Have faith in the voice that comes from within, the one that seems to come from far away and does not seem to always be there. For this voice is with you always and only seems distant when you fear your death. It is your fear that blocks your awareness of the light, and yet it is the light that blocks out death. For death cannot be within the light because the light cannot die.
And let me say something here, because we were just talking about everything you think, do, and say is for the purpose of establishing your identity. And the reason we establish our identity So we're not dead.
So we don't cease to be.
Yeah, so we stave off death by establishing our identity. You know, you can't walk over me. Do you not see me? I'm here. You pay attention. Do you not know what my agenda is right now? Why are you talking about something else? This is what's important. I'm not dying. I'm not dead. I'm existing. I'm alive. Pay attention to me.
Hear me roar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good, Connie. Very good. middle of the page, 200. Verses 38 through 44. The resurrection is within you. Because the light is within you, and the light is the resurrection. To know the light, and to know the resurrection which is, you must put aside the voices of death. Put aside your grave clothes, and look at them no longer. You live. Listen to the voice of life. For grave clothes, I remember Kathy quoted that a couple weeks ago. Sharing in contemplation together. But yeah, this whole idea of grave clothes, what I've written in the margin is the body, right? It's like quit focusing on this lump of clay is who you are. It's not. That's the only place death resides. It does not reside anywhere in reality. It's unreal. The body will experience death. That's what bodies do. But it's time to change your focus from the body that you think you are, the body-mind that you think you are, and focus instead on the truth of what you are, which is life, which is the light. It's all the same thing. It's the animating, you could call it an energy, the animating energy of behind everything is what we truly are. Not these temporarily animated pieces of clay.
Yeah, and I think the point that I'm making about the identity always showing up is that identity, I don't know, 99.9% of the time is the body identity. Right? I mean, That's
unless you're like Adi Ashanti or Byron Katie or
But that's what I'm saying is that when I'm screaming, listen to me. Why aren't you listening to me? And we're having this whole conflict because I'm coming from this space of what's going on with me. It is that the me that I'm talking about is the body identity.
Yes.
It's not the real me. It's the body identity.
Right.
So instead of the dropping into the heart, which is the expansion of me and not the body identity, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what this whole at least John 9 forward has been about, right?
Yes.
Is to say, be in your heart and drop the fear of the of death, and the way to do that is to be in your heart.
Right. The fear of death, drop the protection of the body and be in your heart.
Protection of the body and protection of the identity.
Right. The light must not hide, and the light cannot hide. When you have come to see that the light is in all things, you will also see that the light has not been hidden. You just did not see it there, but it has never been hidden. So why is it that you cannot see the light if the light is everywhere, even now shining brightly for you to see? It is because you have focused your eyes on something else, a fog and a shadow. It is the fog and the shadow that you insist must hold all truth. And so it is the fog and the shadow that you focus on and try to protect. Exactly the conversation we just had.
Yep. Your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Your identity.
What serves me.
Right. Right. Yeah, Kathy says, a personal me that wants something to happen my way. Dropping into the heart would be the equivalent of above the battleground. Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely would. Above the battleground. Hey, Lynn. Ready? NTI John chapter 12. When you place your focus with the fog and the shadow, you do not see the light that shines within the fog and beyond the shadow. You see that which you have chosen to see, and yet you miss that which is there. The fog and the shadow of which you choose to see is a fog and a shadow placed before your eyes by the wish within your mind. And so the fog and the shadow are but a misty reflection of a wish. When the wish is no longer desired, the fog and the shadow must fade away. Each one may choose to see his fog and his shadow, but his fog and his shadow are but a mistaken gift he has given to himself. It is given to no one else. It is his alone. And so, if the fog and shadow, as they seem to exist only for him, the fog and the shadow cannot be truth, for truth must be true for all.
Yeah, so it's easy to say the fog or the shadow or the agenda, right? So if your agenda, as it seems to exists only for you, your agenda cannot be the truth. For the truth must be true for all.
The fog and the shadow that you have chosen to see is your fog and shadow, which you may keep. But as you choose to keep it, you choose to keep a wish, and you choose not to welcome the light that is before you now. So, you know, it's quite beautiful. It seems to me that this has been quite consistent since we started reading tonight. Perhaps it's the focus, you know, my particular focus in this reading of it. But it certainly seems to be saying this idea that, you know, we live within the filters that we make within our mind,
in that we want to focus on, you know, what keeps us separate, what makes us unique, what furthers my agenda, what makes me a unique individual, distinct from you over there, and focus, like Connie has been saying, on my agenda and how you're missing the boat when you don't see my agenda. And so, you know, I have made up this web of beliefs, and given them, given the things that I have ordered my world with, given them an order in that world, in an attempt to make my imagined self real. And, I have done that from this point in space and time, and Connie sitting over there on the couch has done this from her particular point, space and time, and so, you know, it really is the Tower of Babel. You know, we all are just communicating in different languages. Connie communicates and Connie speak, and Jacqueline communicates and Jacqueline speak, because I have things that are important to me that never Connie doesn't even see on her radar. And
you think I should?
You're damn straight. Yeah, and vice versa. And so we're all in our own little imagined
fogs.
Yeah, fogs and shadows. And and you know, the original wish, as it's been described here in TI, the original wish that we keep replaying day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, is what would it be like if things were different than they actually are? And so everything is different. My interpretation of this event is different from your interpretation of this event. My opinion about what ought to be done is different than yours. My face on this piece of clay body looks different than your face on your piece of clay body. We are, you know, it's infinitely splintered. And that's the answer to what would it be like if things were different than they are, which is there can be no splintering, there can be no differences, there can be no, you know, it's all the same. It's all absolutely equal. It's not even only the same, it's one. There can be no division within the one. And so when we have this tiny man idea that we try to create differences within differences within differences, it's total fabrication. None of it exists at all. But if you want to continue to focus on that, then you get to continue to see the differences that don't actually exist.
Yeah, and make yourself miserable in doing so, because that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
and there's real freedom in realizing what you just spoke of, for sure.
Okay, he says you choose to keep a wish. Exactly, you choose to keep a wish. Wondering why we can't all just get along, and that's the truth. What is wrong with Connie? Why can't she get along with me?
Well, and that's not, I mean, we do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You and I constantly going, we both bring our agendas to the room, and you're going, what is wrong with you today? And I'm going, oh my God, was I just getting ready to say that to you?
It's crazy. Yeah. Kathy says, complexity beyond comprehension and untrue. Amen. So, you know, in a different way of looking at that or saying that is, get out of your mind and get into your heart. Quit believing you are the body mind and all the things that go with that. Quit believing that you have to keep thinking these thoughts in order to protect the body mind. That's not you anyway. And how do you do that? You step into your heart.
Exactly. To walk into a situation that seems to be perplexing, and you go, you know, I know the truth of the scenario right now. I'm with Jacqueline. She loves me, and I love her, and no matter whatever else seems to be happening, whatever she's bringing in from the course of her day or whatever I'm bringing in from the course of my day, this is the truth of this scenario that's happening right now. I love her, and she loves me. All the rest of it is our fog.
all the rest of us believing in the fog and shadow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and Kathy says, and we know what to do when you encounter that. Those direct approaches to healing. Yeah, you do the self-inquiry, you do the awareness, watching awareness, the things we've been talking about.
Yeah, yeah, if you can't be present in the situation, if it becomes, you know, if you don't see through it really quick, and sometimes you can see through it really quick, oh, I brought my shit in the room, she brought her shit in the room, and all there is a pile of it. Right?
Right.
Instead of being in the heart where we know what's the truth of what's really going on. And even if I was really awake and you came in the room with your agenda and stuff, I could leave you a space for that.
Yeah.
But no, see, I'm not even awake enough to leave you a space. I'm going, oh, well, you got that agenda? Well, how about this one? You see, I'm not even leaving you a space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, that's that part of that self-inquiry that Regina's taught us to do. You know, if my mind were perfectly healed, it wouldn't bother me that she came in with her agenda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could be in my heart, right?
And go, "Aw, honey, did you have a bad day? Let me help."
I know. And just be in my heart.
Yeah.
And you could say whatever was on your agenda and I'd be right there with you. But no, I'm in my own. So what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with her?
Right. And there's no communication going on.
Exactly.
Because it's two minds who see different things, trying to make those worlds meet, and they'll never meet.
Yeah, two agendas coming through, two seemingly different identities, body mind identities, protecting their body mind identities, and not getting why the other person doesn't get it.
Stop. Pause. Reconsider. Amen, Kathy.
Yes, and lead from the heart. Yes. Just come to every situation from the heart, being authentic from the heart, you know. And then if the other person brings it in, you can allow them that space.
Yeah.
What more can you give somebody than that freedom?
Amen.
Of not having to put my identity over the top of you. Oh, you had a bad day? Well, you want to talk about mine? You know, I'm not even giving you the space to do that.
To have a bad day.
To have a bad day. Yeah. I've got to usurp your bad day.
All right. Let's see. We are supposed to read from the Bible now. So let me pull that up real quick, folks. Let's see. NIV. John chapter 12. Okay, so let's make sure I got the right one this time. Okay, chapters 12 through, no, it's John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. So let me get there. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Yeah, so they had their own agenda, for sure. And it wasn't about the love. It was about their identity in the world and keeping it in its proper place.
Yep. And here's Here's what the Holy Spirit has to say about that. The triumphal entry is a time that must come to your mind. This is the entry, the triumphal entry, of the realization of all that is true upon your mind. This moment is a moment of triumphal entry, glorious beyond any moment you seem to know now. But this moment is also the humblest of moments, which is why it is represented by the image of a king riding on the back of the colt of a donkey. For in this moment of triumphal entry, you must place aside every concept of meaning that you ever thought you knew to be true, and you must be open to all that you never imagined, for all that you imagined is not true, and the truth is all that was never imagined. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's talking about what we might term awakening or enlightenment. It seems like it's contrasting the awareness with this little self-identified state that we've been talking about, which is, as we know, 180 degrees different. It's got a belief about everything. This little self has a belief about, you know, me and you and everything in the world. I have a belief about it, and this is talking about how all of that let go. Every bit of that has to be let go.
The whole thing is, when you think you know something, then there's no room for anything else.
Yeah.
You can't even let the triumphal entry or the light in or any of that. When I'm so full of myself, thinking I know everything, right?
Yeah, you can't tell somebody who thinks they already know. I mean, yeah, there's no room. You're leaving no room for grace. There's no question. You leave no room for grace that way. Well, let's read the next paragraph. It says, "What do I want? This is the question you must ask. What do I want? This is the question you must ask and keep firmly within your mind in all things, for you will see and experience that which you want, because it is that which you have chosen to experience. And you must be given that which you have chosen to experience." So what do I want? Do I want you to see that I'm right about this scenario? Or do I want to be healed? Do I want to have this meaning that I've given to things to be healed from my mind? Do I want my attachments to those meanings to be healed? Do I want my beliefs about who I am to be healed, or do I want to press my agenda?
Yeah, do I want to be in my heart, experiencing the love and the joy that of being with my sister, or do I want to press my own agenda and go, why isn't she getting it?
Yeah.
Why don't she understand me?
Yeah, and that's what was, and I think you made a good point a while ago when we talked about it, but it seemed frustrating for me, when I kept hearing the thinking mind come back and go, yeah, but you know they shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have said that, or, you know, whatever the upset was. And, and I'm like, yeah, but that's not what I want. What I want is healing. But just to say I want healing and just have ego come back and just, you know, say it again and again and again was not necessarily very helpful.
Yeah, and I guess that's when you have to drop into that inquiry thing, because you can see it hadn't let you loose. There's no freedom.
Yeah.
There's no aha.
Yeah.
You know, or it wouldn't keep nipping at your heels, right?
Right, right, right. yeah, but all ego. Yeah, and this talks to that as well. It says, you must be given that which you have chosen to experience. So the question is, what am I choosing here, right? Why do I keep going back to counsel of ego, even though it seems like it's ego running after me going, yeah. And some of that is having energy. But if it does that consistently for an extended period of time, I mean, you can be pretty sure that there's something underneath there that you are really believing, that you continue to believe. And that's why we do things like self-inquiry. So we can say, what is it that I really believe? And just examine what those underlying beliefs are. Because whatever it is that we believe, that's the wish. You know, we get what we wish because that's who we are. We are creators of the world we see. And yes. So you got to figure out what it is that you're actually wishing for.
Exactly. And so when we come together in a scenario and you seem to have your own agenda and I seem to have mine, our wish is not to be in our heart.
Yeah.
My wish is not to know the love that is my sister. My wish is to get my agenda across and for her to know it. Right?
Right.
I mean, it is. That's my wish. I want you to know this and that, and I want you to get it and reaffirm it.
Yeah.
And so the being in my heart of going, just being in my heart without making any assumptions and without thinking I know something, because both of those are going to put me behind a big block that is going to keep me from being authentic, right, and in my heart.
Right.
So what do I want? I mean, the answer has to be, I want to be in my heart.
Right. I want the peace of God.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And if your answer is anything other than that, then you'll get other than that. Other than the peace of God.
Yeah, most, and like you say, most of it is just habit energy, because the habit energy is see me, hear me, accept what I'm saying and hearing, instead they're going and coming to a scenario and you can taste, you can feel the potential for conflict there, and so they're going, whoa, wait a minute, let me drop down in my heart, because this is not, what do I want? I want to be in my heart. Mm-hmm. I want the wholeness, the health of being in my heart.
Okay, in the fog. Yes, Kathy says, in the fog. Okay, guys, it's that time.
Oh, wow, sorry.
No, it's just, not to be sorry about it. It's just that time. It's perfect. We love you. Thanks for letting us hang out here and teach what we would learn and be on this path with you, our mighty companions. We love you, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.